Hi, this is Mark Levine, and welcome to On the Mark. In my last episode of a disabled Vietnam-era veteran, I talked about my entry into the Air Force and stories of basic training at Lackland Air Force Base in San Antonio, Texas. After graduation from basic training, I had orders to arrive at Keesler Air Force Base in Biloxi, Mississippi. The Air Force orders an aptitude test for all recruits coming into service. Well, I scored very high in administrative skills. I was assigned to the 81st Training Wing at Keesler Air Force Base, and we were treated much better there than we were in basic training. And since my test scores indicated administrative skills, I was in training to become an administrative specialist for the Air Force. Our barracks were in cement buildings similar to a dormitory at a college. Two men to a room with showers and bathrooms in the hallways. Well, my first roommate was from the Philippines, seemed like a nice guy, but very quiet and not very sociable. One day, I returned to the room and he was laid out sleeping, and I kind of looked at his backpack and there was a swastika on the back of the backpack. I woke him up and we had not such a very friendly conversation. Well, once the officer in charge found out about my roommate having the swastika in the back of his backpack, he was no longer my problem. Well, during the first week of training, we learned more about our mission and learned how to use a manual typewriter. I think it was a Royal typewriter, as a matter of fact. And at one session, I became so frustrated, I picked up the typewriter and threw it on the floor. Well, the sergeant teaching the class wasn't too happy with me. I received a not-so-fun lecture from the sergeant, but I was allowed to return to class. When we were not in class, we were given duties to perform. I was chosen to be a CQ runner. That means this. In a barracks, there is a charge of quarters, and that's usually a sergeant or higher-ranking airman. And the CQ runner is based on a rotating basis. So what that means is everybody has the opportunity in that barracks to be a CQ runner. And I was very fortunate to get that job. There were other jobs available, working in the kitchen, et cetera, et cetera. So on August 15th, I received a phone call the CQ got a phone call from the Biloxi Police Department telling us they had one of our airmen in custody there and they wanted to bring him back to the base. So when they got there, he was handcuffed and they took the handcuffs off him. He was all mine. So I called over to one of the biggest, baddest guys I knew on base. And he came over with me, and we took this guy, we put him in a barracks room and locked the door and filed a report for the commander. During that same shift, we were getting reports of Hurricane Camille coming toward the Gulf Coast. I had a bet with my sergeant about this, and I said, it's going to hit us. And he said, no, it's not going to hit us. It's going away. And I said, I really don't think so. Unfortunately, I won the bet. It was about 11:30 that night. We heard what sounded like a freight train coming through the airbase. At this point, Camille was listed as a Category 5 hurricane with winds maxing out at 175 miles per hour. I was so thankful we were in a concrete building. During the night, we could see blue lightning, or what appeared to be the blue lightning, flashing everywhere. And it turned out to be the transformers burning out all over the base. It was an amazing sight. There was a shed behind our barracks. It was nowhere to be found. We were then ordered to form up for a commander's call in the center of the quad for assignments. My unit was assigned to, believe it or not, clean up the golf course. In Mississippi, there's all kinds of streams and creeks and waters and bayous all over the place. Now they were overflowing, and the rise in water caused all kinds of aquatic animals to come aground. Well, I was issued a folding shovel with a sharp point on the end of it, which I used not only to dig, but I also used it as a weapon. I encountered several water moccasins and other creatures, and if they left them alone, they'd leave me alone. But one water moccasin didn't want to play. I stared him down and won the battle. I never understood why the golf course was so important than helping the community. Well, the officers are in charge. Well, after that lovely detail, we were then assigned to clean up the elementary school in Pas Christian, one of the worst hit areas. As we entered the schoolrooms, I was amazed that the water line had reached 10 feet above the floor, and that was 1 foot below the ceiling. All the books were ruined, the floors were muddy, and the furniture needed refurbishing. I felt so bad for the kids. My next assignment was to type orders for the Navy Seabees to start cleaning up and rebuilding properties in the stricken areas of Biloxi, Pas Christian, and Gulfport. Once I jumped off the truck and started looking around, I was devastated by the destruction Hurricane Camille had caused in this area. There was nothing standing, with the exception of the telephone building where I was being assigned. It was unbelievable. Once I got settled in the building and given my instructions, the CB orders came fast and furious. There were hundreds of people outside the telephone building looking for help. We had the Red Cross, local and federal agencies in the building with us. And the Red Cross was trying to contact family members across the country to let them know the status of their loved ones. Help was coming from all over the country. Water was being shipped in from Georgia. Sea rations were coming in from all over the country, all of the bases in the area also. I remember the notice our commander sent us. In it he wrote, "You may be dirty, but you will be military." While I was in Pas Christian, one of the local politicians offered me a room in his house to stay while I was on assignment there. He had set up a generator, had some conveniences in the home. For me, it was great. I was able to take a shower, have a hot meal, and clean clothes for a few days. Once I was back on base, I was eating sea rations and dirty and drinking bottled water. It would be several weeks before we got back to some kind of normalcy. Admin school started up again. We started to march back and forth to school. The residents of Gulfport were continuing to rebuild their lives with the help of local and federal agencies. Unless you've ever lived through such an ordeal, you have no way of envisioning such an experience. 259 people died during Hurricane Camille, and hundreds more were injured. The cost of damage during that storm caused $1.42 billion in damage. The equivalent today would have been $11.3 billion in today's dollar. Thankfully, the residents of the golf course are resilient. There have been more storms and hurricanes since Camille, but those heroes have endured and continue to strive despite their losses. God bless them. Several months before we got back to some type of normalcy, we cleaned up the base, helped other people out, did whatever we could, and tried to get back to what we were prior to Camille. Every military installation has bars outside the gates. Keesler Air Force Base was no different. When you got off duty, that was a place to go. So I got to know everybody in this one bar. This is during the time of go-go dancers in the cages. So I got to know some of the people there, and one night, I was dating one of the ladies there, and I got back probably 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning from the state. I go into my barracks, go into the room, jump into bed, and my foot went through the sheets, and the bed was full of shaving cream. Well, there were pranksters everywhere you went to in the service. Fortunately, I was pretty well-liked, so this was just a little gag, little prank. They were laughing their heads off, so they threw me into the shower, friendly. It was not what they call a blanket party. I'll explain that in a minute. but it was just for fun. But I didn't get a lot of sleep that night. So let me explain what a blanket party is. So you got 50 guys in a barracks or more, and there's one goofball who just doesn't get along with anybody, and he just is a terrible person. So what they do, I've never been in, well, maybe one. What they do is they take a blanket. Now, these blankets were wool, heavy wool blankets in 1969, 1970. So what you would do, you'd get up behind the guy real quiet and put the blanket over his head so he wouldn't know who was doing it and beat the crap out of him. And usually after that, he was okay. I never got caught. I know I'd only been in one of those situations. There are going to be more stories coming up in the next few weeks about my life in the Air Force. There is much more to come, and I want to thank you for listening to On the Mark. And if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact me at onthemark93@gmail.com. Again, onthemark93@gmail.com. This is your host, Mark Levine, saying thank you for listening to On the Mark.